new deliveries every year.
So you essentially, just so I get this right, you want Daniel Tupou to head to the Middle East and defuse bombs that are quite dangerous. I don't think you thought this out, Chip. I get the feeling that Daniel Tupou is just going to end up dead. Where do you think Russell Richardson is these days?
Perhaps he's balls deep in a couple of Asian whores.
It's very specific. I feel like you might know him. Do you want to talk about some random shit?
Purple Dispatch Tiger Beer Can Alpha Male.
It's probably too random.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Voluntary Tackle. This is Chip Jones and co-pilot for this evening's romp.
I prefer sidekick.
Sidekick to Chip this evening will be the only man who can wear a shirt of that particular description, keep a straight face, and run a podcast.
Well, thank you for the kind words there, Chip. And of course, it is a non-visual medium, so I thought I'd get away with this horrendous shirt. But thank you for pointing it out to the Australian public.
Ladies and gentlemen, Eamon Brown.
Thank you. It is fantastic to be here, Chip. And look, this is our first show in the off-season. It's been a few weeks, if not months, since we've been on air. And we appreciate those 11 listeners awaiting the next show. I know you're waiting with bated breath on iTunes. Unfortunately, and we've had a discussion pre-show about this, we don't have a lot to say in this show, but we thought we'd touch base with you anyway, didn't we, Chip?
Well, we've spent a lot of weeks with not a lot to say. Interestingly enough, I found out this week that the all-time record point scoring achievement for today's date, is actually zero and has been for like ever. No one's ever scored any points.
On this day. What is the date today?
Today
the 20th of January.
Saturday of the 20th.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're saying in rugby league.
No one's ever scored any points today.
That's
surely
quite
we
amazing.
We could fix that. We could score a point.
Why don't we do it? Because we're never going to hold another
let's
record
do it.
At
okay. Well, have we got any goal? Let's put up some goalposts here.
We would have to rent out a first grade ground, wouldn't we?
Let's do table football. Do you remember that game? You get a coin.
We play coin
let's
footy.
Do it with
I think that's a different
a
sport.
Bottle cap. Here you go. So this is, you score
okay,
a point.
Yeah. All right, I've got a bottle cap here. I don't know what we're doing.
You've got to flick it.
Oh. Well, I've got a microphone
moron.
Here,
put
Chip.
Put the microphone. Do commit to this. One successful conversion from Eamon Brown for 2 points.
Do you know what? I was actually quite happy with the fact that I just seamlessly fit back into coin footy. That was a good conversion.
That was a good conversion, a good segue. And although we are an audio medium, I think the listeners will appreciate that.
I think so. They'll appreciate the sound effects of a bottle cap, if nothing else.
Well, we've worked hard to make that possible.
Now, in the NRL this year, Chip, we've got a lot of things to talk about. We're going to be talking about Dave Taylor, the Coltrane, and his very short career at the Wolfpack.
Just can't stay at a club.
Dave Taylor peaks around the signing of the contract.
He knows he's done it.
He's done all he can do. He goes, well, I'm not going to train or try.
No.
But I'll certainly sign my name and take your money.
Yeah, I'll do that happily. We've also got a few Jareds in the headlines.
We have. We've got Jared Hayne is in the headlines. Well, he's never in the headlines for good reasons, so that should just be inferred. But
part of the course, really.
Exactly. Yeah, but he's potentially sunk Parramatta's chances of doing any good in 2018.
Like a kamikaze.
Exactly. I think Parramatta probably only have themselves to blame, Chip. I'm not victim blaming.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. We don't need to do that. There's plenty of people willing to
heaps,
do that. So
heaps in heaps on Twitter.
Yeah.
And we'll also be chatting about the chances of your rugby league team doing well in 2018. Maybe not yours, because we probably won't touch on all of them. We like to be quite scatterbrained, don't we?
Look, if you're not in the top eight, we really don't give a fuck. Like,
we don't care.
I mean, come on. Like,
I mean, if you're a Titans fan, just tune out. Yeah. Is what we're saying.
Yeah. You're not really interesting.
Well, they have a big checkbook. Unfortunately, they also have a big debit because they tend to write big checks.
What does that mean, debt? Or what?
Well, they tend to go into the red a fair bit.
Yeah, that's kind of debt, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
It's a form of debt.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't know if you know, this also did happen in the off-season. We probably should touch on it. The Gold Coast Titans were bought out by 4 or 5 just really enthusiastic fans.
It's fantastic.
I don't think it's going to help them because those people look like they've only ever run a really successful bingo tournament.
No, it's nice to be back. We haven't had a lot of rugby league action until this very week.
No, we haven't.
And it's exploded.
Well, has it? What's going on in the world of rugby league?
Well, Jared Hayne, of course, is having to answer... they're not historic sex charges. They're like recent
Allegedly, mate. We don't know what's true.
No,
and what's
the
not.
Charges have definitely been leveled against him.
Civilly.
Whether he did them, the allegated.
Well, it isn't. I mean, he hasn't been charged with a crime. We should be very clear about that.
Well, one thing I was very happy when I. Because, you know, I'm deeply religious.
I did not know that.
Excuse me. That was.
But you do so many irreligious things.
Well,
you're quite an immoral chap.
According to Hillsong Church, Jared is a changed man. God has touched his life, and the Telegraph were nice enough to run a feature a few weeks ago in which Jared said, "When I first started coming to Hillsong, I wasn't glorified as an athlete." So that's got to be tough for Jared.
Yeah, no, because who is he without that identity?
He said, "You know, you're there as a son of God," which, let's be honest, it's a bit of a step down from the glorified athlete status that he's used to. Mm. But nonetheless,
I mean,
God,
at Parramatta Oval, he was a god himself for a while.
And this next line says everything for me. He says, and this is a quote, "That for me helped me so much. Church for me was one of those things on a Sunday I could just come and be me."
I think I get what Jared's angling at here. He seems to be talking about, well, himself a fair bit. Am I wrong, Chip?
Well, let's look at the next sentence here. "Coming in and speaking about God was huge."
For me?
For me.
Ah.
So, usually, "the" is about the most used word in the English language, I would think.
If you're but not in Jared Haynes' vernacular.
Unusual syntax, or you're trying to say something. But "me" actually highlights in this one for Jared. So,
do you think Jared's under the illusion, Chip, that he is God? Like, do you think he goes along to Hillsong thinking, "Geez, it's good to be surrounded by so many parishioners worshipping me"?
Well, I think it's more about, you know, you'll notice before he said, you know, I come here because I'm only the son of God.
Only.
Right, so obviously son is less to the father, so he's going for that top job. I really
So he sees himself as the 2IC of the Almighty.
Well, who knows how high he could climb? I mean, he's only got a... He's gone from coach killing to franchise leveling now with Parramatta because he's already left. If I understand...
Well, I don't know if he's left already. I mean, it's up in the air.
Okay. Mm. So he's probably not going to play a game.
Hard to say.
Probably not.
You seem very definite, Chip.
I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Okay.
One other thing I thought was interesting this week, I found out that Dave Taylor...
Oh, Big Dave.
Big Dave.
What do they call him? The Coltrane.
The Coltrane has left the Wolfpack.
Well, now, am I right here, Chip? I thought he'd only just been signed to the Wolfpack.
Interestingly enough, he's left the Wolfpack without ever having played a game.
Mm. That's like Dave Taylor at most clubs.
Well, funny you say that, because the last club was exactly the same. Mm. Mutual agreement. He left...
Was it mutual, or was it just a case of Dave Taylor doing bad things? You get the sense of Dave that off the field... He gets up to no good.
Well, I found this article here in our pre-game. The little bit of work we do. I mean, we do a little bit
of R&D, mate. A very little bit of R&D.
And it basically says here that alongside ex-England international Ryan Bailey, they've left the club. But he basically did a pre-season training camp in Portugal.
Well, that's an odd venue.
After the pre-season training camp in Portugal, it was mutually agreed that he wouldn't play for that team anymore.
Are you sure Dave Taylor just wasn't on a Kentucky tour? Like, I don't know if that was part of his training. Did he go, "I really want to work on my abs in Tahiti for a little while"? I feel like Dave's actually got a bit of a scam going here.
You've picked up on a few strings, haven't you?
I think so. I think maybe Dave Taylor, the Coltrane, underestimated as a strategic genius.
Well, we have to look into that. It sounds
I think
a
the Coltrane's a fucking liar.
How did you feel about Mr. Crichton?
Now, this is an interesting story, Chip, because, as you know, I'm sure the listeners are aware, all seven of them, that we are quite sort of fervent Roosters fans. I think it's up to seven.
We've got seven.
I think my dad dropped off. We were at eight.
We were at eight.
But now we're back to seven.
Well, we're not, you couldn't say we're heading in the right direction, but that's a lot more people than would listen to us usually.
Now, as a Roosters fan, Chip, I was very happy to hear about Angus Crichton moving across to the Roosters because I think he's a quality player. But in the off-season, some news broke and I was a bit concerned. And the reason I was concerned was that I heard Angus Crichton was sick of healing his finger, so he just had it amputated. My question is this, Chip. We've paid a lot of money for this bloke. Do we deserve a discount now that he's not whole?
Well, it's interesting that you say that, and you've caught on to something here, Eamon, that most people don't know, and I probably shouldn't tell you this.
Oh, go on then.
But Brad Fittler made a call to Angus Crichton.
Okay. Was this pre-amputation?
This is pre-amp.
Okay.
And says, look, mate, we'd love to have you at the Roosters, and we think you could do big things, and I'm a big fan of yours, and you know what a legend I am, and that must mean a lot to you.
It's very forward of Freddie, wasn't
it? If you'd like to continue, you know, on your meteoric rise, we need to fit you under the salary cap, and we can't afford a whole player.
I see what you're saying. So they actually, this is something that the Roosters did on purpose.
So they've gone through the rule books. They've because you know they've got plenty of lawyers, and they've worked out that you know 90% of a player, as far as his hands are concerned, will get them under the cap. It's not a whole other player.
Chip, is this kosher to sort of slice and dice players in order for financial expediency? I don't think clubs are allowed to do that.
Well, that's debatable. But either you want to win or you don't.
Yeah, and you're right. Win at all costs.
At the end of the day, can you catch a ball with nine?
Probably can. You know, I mean,
are they still showing the football?
I think so.
They are.
They've still got
the rights. Okay, well, you can catch a ball with nine.
I think I actually know what you're saying here, Chip, because I'm sure, if my memory serves me correctly, that the Roosters have already done this. They actually saved money on Mitch Pearce by amputating his talent from him. For the listeners, we're drinking Asahi.
And Tiger.
It's not very Australian.
I've moved on to Tiger.
Oh, okay. Well, we've stayed in Asia. You're in Singapore, I'm in Japan.
Yeah, I'm closer.
To Asia?
To here.
Oh, okay.
Fucking moron.
I thought we need to have a geography lesson really quickly. But on Angus Crichton, Chip, what are your thoughts about this? Do you think it's fair for clubs to be forcing players to amputate?
Well, I think if you go into the Spartan Code book or The Art of War or any kind of these kind of things...
This seems extreme for a rugby league club.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying go as far as kill your kittens or anything like that.
That's good.
That's a little bit extreme.
It's very Israeli army. It's very Mossad.
Yeah, well, you know, you don't really want them knocking on your door, particularly not my door, because, you know, I have nothing to do with your rampant anti-Semitism. But I would say...
I'm just pro-Palestine, mate.
You just... Well, one equals the other, you know that. Could we have the Jews and the Arabs rugby league team and they just go out in the field?
Mm.
No one dies. Like, okay.
Well, that's a relief.
Have a cheap shot here or there if you really need to.
What's
make
a cheap
it, make
shot?
It like the origin of the Middle East. Like a bigger origin than our origin. It could be bigger.
Okay, I'm
you
sure
could
it would
have
be.
Like Israeli more special forces, right? You teach them how to play and that's then. And then you get the disenfranchised Palestinian... they've still got some kids, I think, left. Most of the adults, I think, are gone. But you could get the kids learn the game, give them a chance.
Yep.
You know,
I wouldn't mind it. I'm sure they would bring their variation of twists. I mean, I think they'd appreciate the old landmine on the 20-meter zone.
Well, it'd be interesting to see who put up the first bomb because you've got goal line defense. Like, if you can shoot that bomb out of the sky before it gets near you, that's a big advantage.
If you can defuse it.
Like, if you can jump, right? Like, you're thinking here now about, let's say...
The Israelis have been far better historically at defusing bombs. I just wanted to say that.
Who is that winger for the Roosters?
Pat Richards.
No, current. Daniel Tupou.
Yes.
So he's like the bomb diffuser. He's like one of those anti-missile defense systems that jumps up and actually impacts the bomb before it gets near you.
Plucks it out of the air.
Yeah.
And just bears its brunt.
Maybe he could sub in for the Palestinian team or something.
So you essentially, just so I get this right, you want Daniel Tupou to head to the Middle East and defuse bombs that are quite dangerous.
Well...
I don't think you thought this out, Chip. I get the feeling that Daniel Tupou is just going to end up dead.
Well, we wouldn't want that. I mean,
he's a good player.
He seems like a nice guy, actually.
He does, yeah. He's very quiet.
Very quiet.
Yeah, very
is he
quiet.
Religious?
I think so.
He's probably quite religious.
I'd imagine so.
Is he a Hillsonger?
It's hard to say.
Is he a God botherer or a devil dodger? That's what I want to know.
I don't think he's a Bible basher.
Way is he going?
I think he bashes the Bible of NBA. You know, he really wanted to be a basketballer.
Is that right?
And sometimes he's played like that, like he doesn't want to be there. Yeah. He'd much prefer to be playing for the Chicago
Bulls. Something else. His mind is
elsewhere.
bouncing.
Yeah,
along
exactly.
The,
yeah.
Hard court somewhere.
And he'd be a damn good basketball player. And as it turns out, he's actually quite a good rugby league player.
He's quite good.
He's quite good. Yeah. It's funny with Daniel Tupou. You never go, he's very good. Just say, he's quite good.
There were moments when he started out that I actually thought that he could become very good.
Mm.
because he was quick and he jumped and he was tall and stuff.
But yeah.
He kind of, I think he's got that minor league syndrome, you know, that one origin appearance.
He got picked before he should have, let's face it.
Yeah. And
ironically, he should have got picked last year and he didn't. So that was weird.
That's New South Wales rugby league for you, isn't it? Really, pick the right player at the wrong time as often as possible, and hopefully you'll not lose by too much. What I really thought was good was how
that's bang on exactly what we do.
How Queensland actually said, "All right, well, you win a series, have two, you fucks. Like, yeah, okay, you got lucky, or so you think. Come up to Queensland, we'll give you one game. We'll play you once." And they accumulated more points in that game than we'd accumulated in the last two games.
Yeah, they if you looked at the for and against for the series, they kicked our ass.
Yeah.
So that's been our only win in 12 years.
Who do we need? How are we going to fix this?
I honestly think we
Freddy for a change?
Well, Fred Fittler will be a good change. But I think if we were to seriously change the path of performance really quickly, all we'd need to do is recruit a fairly violent person. So, for example, someone just to kneecap Cameron Smith.
Okay, so we're going back to violence, just straight violence.
Most things with me do.
If we take a moment here, the voluntary tackle, to say, well, you know, we'll listen to anyone's point of view, whether you're metrosexual, heterosexual, homosexual, non-binary, sexual, whether whatever particular thing, whether you're a nice person, a bad person, whether you're green, black, blue, female, male.
Unless you're an objectosexual, in which case
an objectosexual, you know, I kind of think if people want to do that and you want to spend the time blowing it up, then you do what you want.
Fair enough.
But look, flesh this out for us. How could we use violence to solve this issue?
Yeah, people frown upon violence, Chip, but I think it has its place, particularly when it comes to the Maroons, because for the New South Wales Blues, there's just no feasible way they're going to win legitimately. Like, you can go ahead and try to be talented and train and learn the rules, sure. But the thing is, that hasn't worked for us for more than a decade. I mean, the iPhone's been out longer than it has for us to win a convincing series, and that's a problem.
I think I've got one of those old disused iPhones actually somewhere in my shoebox, you know, like down on my cabinet, that the screensaver is the last time
we won.
The blue swan with the shield there, and yeah, like it's dusty.
Going back to our original point there, I think Brad Fittler will be amazing for the Blues, and I do sense a changing of the guard. Because Freddie, for all of his faults, which, you know, are wide and varied, I mean, he's a bit of a space cadet. As a commentator, he never commentates on the game. He's done a few sort of faux pas during his playing days. But let's not delve too deeply. Let's delve a little bit.
I mean,
well, no, I want to get to the fact that I think he is a leader of menship.
Well, what faux pas can you give us to see how, despite such a faux pas, he came through to lead men?
I would say when he coached the Roosters in 2009 to a wooden spoon, and he was at a hotel off his tits.
Low moment.
A very low moment. And the Roosters were at the bottom of the ladder. And he was in, I think, a hotel. I think it might have been the Coogee Plaza. I'm not sure. And he was so drunk, he started slamming on a door, which he thought was his. And as it turns out, at 4 a.m., it was just an innocent couple.
Heard about this. I mean, he got the wrong door.
He got the wrong door.
I mean, you get sacked for that these days.
Well,
he
didn't coach in 2010.
It's not like he was touching someone's knee inappropriately.
No.
But he was still knocking on the wrong door at an unreasonable hour. I mean, that can cause like duress from the... I mean, the people inside may not recover from that.
You know, the same night, Nate Miles defecated in a hallway.
Yeah, well, Nate takes things to another level.
Why was Nate Miles... I want to throw this out to any of the social media followers that the Voluntary Tackle has. Why was Nate Miles chosen in the Maroons team for so long? Because even people on the south of the border who are getting their asses spanked as Blues fans, we, even in that moment of pain, acute pain, had no idea why the man with the very large head who made very, very average gains was picked in the team.
Well, I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Okay.
Is this one of these chip theories? Are you going to go out on a limb here?
This is not a chip theory. This is a chip contact.
Okay. All right. You've got an inside word.
And the rumour is that he was brought in to actually morally crush New South Wales. And what I mean by that is Queensland decided that they could afford to have a player of such shocking consistency and dismal performance and still dominate the game. To really give
it was
New
a
South
fuck
Wales
you moment, wasn't
an
it?
Indication of how far behind they were. They actually gave up a player and still won. So
it's sort of like, I'm just to create something analogous, would it be like a really good sumo wrestler just going on a crash diet and still winning as a skinny person?
Look, I really think, you know, you've come through on top there because you've said analogous without any problem. And
thanks,
I'm
mate.
So impressed.
Thank you so much. That we've had a few beers, haven't we?
Well, I've had a few beers, a few whiskeys, and a few other unmentionables. But what happens on the podcast stays on the podcast, Eamon.
Welcome back to the Voluntary Tackle. Now, we're talking 2018 season. It's not too far away, Chip, and time goes very fast these days. I'm assured that's scientifically inaccurate, but I don't care. It does seem we're very close. I want to know and canvass your opinions as to who you think will go well this year.
Newcastle, number one dark horse.
Okay, and why is that? Well. It's because they've recruited the entire Roosters team?
Not only that, but they've also recruited enough players to know what it's like to go from wooden spoon to minor premiership. Now, I'm not saying they're going to do that, but they will be a dark horse this year, and I'm tipping them to make the finals.
Okay. Are you tipping them to only make the finals because Mitch Pearce is playing for them and therefore they won't win a premiership?
Not exactly. They've got enough quality players now that they're going to give teams a run for their money longer than the first 10 minutes, and I think that's a massive step up for Newcastle.
You're right. They did generally stay in the game for a good 10. The last 3 years, before falling away quite sharply for the back 70.
Yeah, and that's tough.
Yeah, no, it's not good for
morale.
You've
got to have a really big 10 if you're going to win that
you've
game.
You've got to go up by 40, probably in that first 10.
And defend like fucking maniacs.
Oh, yeah. Badly. Which, of course, they didn't.
Yeah.
You know, they were more porous than a block of Swiss cheese.
Yeah, I think we can do better than that.
Oh, I think
They had more holes in them.
Then former East Timorese leader Jose Ramos Horta.
Okay, yeah, that's better. They held less water than a Titanic bulkhead.
I like it because it's historically mean.
And it's also inaccurate because the bulkheads held plenty of water. And when they sank, they were full of water. So I don't know.
Well, let's not throw science into it, but I'm just saying lots of people died. Mm. No, I agree with you, Chip. I think the Newcastle Knights will be a big mover in 2018, most notably because they've basically replaced their 2017.
That's also because you're a cunt.
Yes, possibly.
I've been far too harsh. Eamon, clearly you're one of the wisest and most measured people in rugby league.
Are you calling me measured because I'm quite tall?
Probably have to do a lot of measurements to fit clothing. So yeah, you would be quite measured in that sense.
I do. Although, you know, when I was younger and I was quite skinny, I used to have things tailor-made because I'm quite tall. These days, I'm virtually morbidly obese and it's a dream going into Lowe's.
Kind of tailored to your market, really, aren't
they? Well, they are, yeah. Sort of a tall, fat slob. Mm. But I actually think they're going to go quite well. I think they've got some genuine strike power this time, the Knights, and they've kind of lacked that strike power in previous years. But I think the biggest marker for them will be the likes of Mitchell Pearce, ironically. I know I give him a lot of jip, but I think he will lead that team around. And they've got a guy called Kalen Ponga, who I'm going to put my reputation on the line here, possibly the next Jonathan Thurston.
Wow. That's a huge call.
It's a big call, I know. It could blow up in my face.
What episode are we up to? I'm going to keep track of this because this might be good to bring back this particular bit.
Yeah, I know. Just laugh
later
at me.
On.
You can laugh at me when he turns into a nobody.
Are we episode 9 now? Have we done 9?
I have no idea.
You might feel like you're in the depths of Sydney summer, but I'm telling you, there's an avalanche of Eamon and it's coming right for you.
Why does that sound like a really crass sexual metaphor? I don't know why.
I'm glad you went there. Let's see, the next Jonathan Thurston.
He could well be. Moving on from cum shots, we should probably talk about Jonathan Thurston and why he will potentially...
Why do we have to move on from those? They're my favourite part.
Well, we're not about that though, mate. We're not a pornography podcast.
A porncast? That's a bit like a cum shot, isn't it? Really?
Well, porncast.com's not bad, but I'm more of a Pornhub guy.
Pornhub. Mm. Yeah, I've heard of them.
If you want your sort of one size fits all, you know, it's got your fucking weird niche stuff with your mainstream.
Modelled to your particular level of variance.
Whatever you're after. If you want to see a black midget abuse a Jew.
Let's move right on. Talk a little bit more about rugby league.
Yeah, well, I think we should, Chip, because... Next year, there could be some movers and we could see some people dropping. And I'm forecasting this year that the Brisbane Broncos may miss the 8.
I'll back you on that. I can see that. I see Melbourne having a strong year. They'll still be the team to beat. I think the Roosters will win. Cooper Cronk being the difference there. I think the Sharks...
You're moving all over the shop.
Will
I mean.
Not do as well as they did in the last couple of years and drop down some. I see Brisbane dropping. Canterbury... may have a big year this year.
And why is that?
I think. Just because it's about time.
Because they're
it's
due.
It's about time.
I don't see it. Because, you know, what do they've got? Kieran Foran coming to the club who's been 2 or 3 years in the wilderness. I mean, he hasn't brought the kind of form pre-meltdown, for want of a better term. That seems insensitive. But he did have a meltdown. And he hasn't been as good as he was during the prime at Manly. So he's coming to the Dogs. They've got a new coach. They sacked Des Hasler. It's Dean Pay, who could well be a good coach. I mean, he was a good player. I can see him having some success with the club. But I don't see them recruiting any major strike force that suggests they will be a powerhouse in 2018. Unless, I mean, I'm free to concede if you can
throw anything at me. Let's see what happens.
Okay.
We'll see what's born out there.
I certainly won't ignore the whole season.
Who do you like in positions 5 to 8 to make the semis?
It's unusually specific. Who will finish 5th to 8th? Is that what you're asking? Okay. I think the Newcastle Knights will be in there.
Yeah, I agree.
I think the Canberra Raiders will probably be in there. And maybe in 8th place. See, I think the Broncos will finish 8th or 9th.
Okay. Who's the alternate?
St. George, maybe.
St. George.
See, St. George have got standard, Ben Hunt. Yeah, standard, classic. Really classic St. George, isn't
George.
It?
Come into the finals, make it there, have a good game, maybe.
Maybe.
Have a shit game and be out, or have a shit game and still, you know, win some. And no, that's not going to happen. Yeah, okay, I can see St. George, 9, 8, potentially. You've got one more team. Now, the North Queensland Cowboys, you've got Thurston coming back.
They'll be a top four.
Are they going to be top four?
They'll be a top four.
Okay, so they're in your top four. So
Roosters are top four.
I agree with you. I think Melbourne got to be
top four.
Who rounds out that top four for you?
I don't think it will be Penrith. I don't think it'll be Canberra.
It's not going to be Newcastle.
It's not going to be the Titans. Newcastle will be in the
bottom
end.
It's not going to be New Zealand either.
Warriors won't be
none
in
of
there.
The new ones.
We're missing another Sydney club here who's good. Who are we missing?
South Sydney are not
Parramatta,
good
actually.
Club.
Parramatta could well be. I mean, Parramatta should be in that top four.
Yeah, but they've just been sunk.
Exactly.
The Hayne plane is
the
just
Hayne
crashed.
Factor.
You know when you have like a plane coming to land on an aircraft carrier? That's like Hayne. You've got this aircraft carrier, it's solid, right? Yep. Parramatta reels have been around for ages, da-da-da. Hayne's coming into land, right? He's trying to get that wire, that hook, you know, to pull you on deck. He just crashes straight into the command tower while he's ejecting.
If you're gonna create the analogy of Jared Hayne in a plane, then I'm gonna compare him to MH370.
And it's really tough on the fans and the family.
It is, mate. I often equate the forlorn Parramatta Eels fan circle to the families of people on MH370.
The bereft family.
They're both longing for answers. It's out of taste, but I'll probably keep it in. Well, listeners, it's been a long off season, and you know, we've watched a lot of KFC Big Bash. We've watched a bit of the Ashes, and we're already, aren't we, Chip, ready and roaring for another NRL season.
Oh, Eamon, there's been nothing on. Like the Pommies didn't give us one Test match worth watching.
No.
Even the draw was boring. Do you know what I mean? But the Ashes is really what that was all about.
Yeah, and they got humiliated essentially.
It was embarrassing.
It was like, you know, having their hands strapped to their legs and, you know, a donkey mating with them.
That's not that bad.
Depends how big the donkey is. It's been a long off season and we're ready for some rugby league, and I'm sure many of our listeners are as well. We want it to be kicking off soon. Auckland Nines, is that happening again this year? We do run a podcast. We should probably know that.
Well, yeah, I have no idea.
We haven't done our research,
care.
Have we?
Well,
should we Google it live?
It's, you know, look, I don't think that many people care. I mean, it's like,
well, you
yeah,
say
it's
that. You
on.
Say that, but we won the last one, mate.
Yeah, but
the Roosters won the last one. I
care. I know you care when we win. But I care regardless. And I'm not particularly interested in
if
caring about something just because we won it.
Oh, come on. You care more, don't you?
I care less.
I care more about 2002
if we win. It's
and
like,
fucking
yeah, well,
2013.
We won that. Okay, we won this, we won that. It's like, this is getting boring.
Yeah. There'd be a lot of irate West Tigers fans out there who go, well, fuck you, Chip. Because we never win.
It's the equivalent of a rugby league first world problem, I grant you.
Can I just break some news here, Chip? When I say breaking news...
You can break whatever you like, Eamon, as long as it's not the wind or my particular fancy flame ball that I have.
Okay,
here.
I will certainly not...
interestingly enough, listeners, I haven't turned on, and being that you're in radio land and you're listening rather than viewing, you'll really appreciate this.
They won't, because it's a visual
it's
thing.
It's a visual thing.
So they're going to miss that whole thing.
And how do you feel about the visual? Touch it.
No, I'm not touching it.
No, touch
mate,
it.
Don't be Harvey Weinstein.
Just touch it. I'm not touch it once.
No.
Look, if you don't like it,
I don't want the role.
Look, boo. Whoa, it's cool.
I don't. I've seen the science before, Chip. It's just old science.
It's just like, you know,
Mr. Bean did it in 91. All right.
Disappointing. That's all.
Now, I've got some breaking news for our listeners. We should have done a research here, Chip, but we've back. When I say breaking news, this news story broke in July 2017.
So it's recent.
It's fairly recent. I mean, anything in the last 12 months. But apparently, the Auckland Nines for 2018 has been scrapped. It's not happening this year. Are you shocked? I'm shocked all these months later.
Well, as I mentioned before, I could care more about watching the grass grow through the wet paint that I painted on it.
While you don't
watching
like the nines.
Paint dry and then watching the grass grow. Well, no, it's been canned.
Yeah, just because it's been canned doesn't mean it wasn't awesome.
Well, that kind of does mean that.
I don't think so. Yeah. There are things that have ended prematurely.
If something's awesome.
What about the series Deadwood? That ended prematurely.
Deadwood was excellent.
Exactly. Right? But they didn't
the
get
Auckland
funding.
Nines
it got axed.
Is not fucking
it got
Deadwood.
Axed, Chip.
The Auckland Nines is like a little bit of touch, tackle, athletic, runaround.
It's fucking awesome.
Football.
Fuck you. It's great.
Now, I'll tell you something, listeners out there in listening land, podcast world. Had the Roosters not won the last Auckland Nines, I can promise you, Eamon Brown would be in particular agreement with me about the boringosity.
I've always loved it.
Of
I particularly liked it when Brad Fittler, 10 years after his retirement, returned.
Came back.
And played amazingly.
Yep.
There was a one-on-one tackle in open space on Ben Barber. And then, of course, there was an intercept 90-metre try at the age of 45. How could you not love the Auckland Nines just on the back of that?
Because that was it. That was the highlight. That was as good as it got.
You're saying it didn't get any better from there?
No. Okay. Well, do you think so?
Well, no. Well, everything has its apex.
Okay, so Brad Fittler...
Seinfeld had its best season in season four.
Look,
it went on for another
Brad
6 years.
Brad Fittler can take
and I'm
an
happy about that.
And run 90 metres at 45, it's probably not the highest level of the game.
Hey, what are you saying
honest.
About Freddie?
I'm saying that at 45...
I hope you're listening, Freddie.
Running 90 metres. I don't think he'd... I mean, do you think he'd run 90 metres to score an intercept try at the age of... What is he now, 68 or something? 60?
He's in his mid-40s, mate. There's no need to be disrespectful.
Okay, so I apologise. So he's in his mid-40s. Is he going to run 90 metres to score the winning grand final try this year?
He would run 90 metres if he was playing Newcastle or the Titans.
That's not what I asked you.
But look, as we approach the end of the show, we've touched on a few topics. I'm not sure if we've informed anyone, have we, Chip? Do you reckon they've left feeling as though they understand the 2018 season any better?
No, not really.
No, neither do I.
I don't think so. I think, you know, you've probably tuned in at some point in the show. If you happen to be listening to this point in the show, you've skipped to the end just to see what happened at the end, I would think. That's probably the best.
Unfortunately, there's no spoiler alert because there was no crescendo or massive conclusion.
No, we didn't really have much to say.
No, it was a flat line of nothingness.
Yeah.
But
we really are waiting for that season to start. I mean, I think that's what this podcast has been about today. Yeah.
Well, we certainly appreciate you sticking around and thank you for listening to another exciting episode of The Voluntary Tackle. Exciting in inverted commas because we're not sure if it was. But just stay cool, and until next time, just do what the Gold Coast Titans would do and finish about 14th.